the Sutra of the Heart of Transcendent Knowledge. Thus I've once the Blessed One was dwelling in Rajagriha at Vulture Peak Mountain, together with a great gathering of the Sangha of monks and a great gathering of the Sangha of Bodhisattvas. At that time, the Blessed One entered the Samadhi that expresses the Dharma called profound illumination. And at the same time, Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, while practicing the profound Prajnaparamita, saw in this way. He saw the five skandhas to be empty of nature. Then, through the power of the Buddha, Venerable Shariputra said to Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, how should a son or daughter of noble family train who wishes to practice the profound Prajnaparamita? Addressed in this way, Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, said to Venerable Shariputra, O Shariputra, a son or daughter of noble family who wishes to practice the profound Prajnaparamita should see in this way, seeing the five skandhas to be empty of nature. Form is emptiness, emptiness also is form, emptiness is no other than form, form is no other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, perception, formation, and consciousness are emptiness. Thus, Shariputra, all dharmas are emptiness. There are no characteristics. There is no birth and no cessation. There is no impurity and no purity. There is no decrease and no increase. Therefore, Shariputra, in emptiness there is no form, no feeling, no perception, no formation, no consciousness, no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no appearance, no sound, no smell, no taste, no touch, no dharmas, eye dhatu up to no mind dhatu, no dhatu of dharmas, no mind consciousness dhatu, no ignorance, no end of ignorance up to no old age and death, no end of old age and death, no suffering, no origin of suffering, no cessation of suffering, path, no wisdom, no attainment, and no non-attainment. Therefore, Shariputra, since the Bodhisattvas have no attainment, they abide by means of Prajnaparamita. Since there is no obscuration of mind, there is no fear. They transcend falsity and attain complete nirvana. All the Buddhas of the three times, by means of Prajnaparamita, fully awaken to unsurpassable, true, complete enlightenment. Therefore, the great mantra of Prajnaparamita, the mantra of great insight, the unsurpassed mantra, the unequaled mantra, the mantra that calms all suffering should be known as truth since there is no deception. Prajnaparamita mantra is said in this way, Te Ata Om Gate Gate Paragate Parasangati Bodhisoha. Thus, Shariputra, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, should train in the profound Prajnaparamita. Then the Blessed One arose from that samadhi and praised Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, saying, Good, good, O son of noble family, thus it is, O son of noble family, thus it is. One should practice the profound Prajnaparamita just as you have taught, and all the Tathagatas will rejoice. When the Blessed One had said this, Venerable Shariputra and Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, that whole assembly in the world with its gods, humans, asuras, and gandharvas rejoiced and praised the words of the Blessed One. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents. I imagine this as a Buddha land, and may all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. Holy Lamas high, wrap the sky of your Dharma bodies in massive clouds of knowledge and love, and let them pour upon the earth of your disciples as we are ready, a shower of rain, the teachings deep and wide. Mm-hmm. Send forth this jeweled mandala to you, precious Guru. Yedam Guru Radha Mandala Gam Nirada Yami.
Sanji.
Shiodan Zodi Jonam La Yanjo Badu Dani Yazu Jindagi Chuni Jibizu Nam Jidro La Benji Zanji Rubayo. Jodan Zodi Jonam La Janju Badu Dani Jasu Chindagi Chinye Jibhe Sunam Jidro La Benji Zanye Rubayu Zodi Jonam La Janju Badu Dani Jasu Chindagi Chinye Jibhe Sunam Jidro
Jolabin,
So tonight we will again be looking at Lama Tsong Kapa's text or poem, if you will, called The Source of All My Good. This text is a commentary, as are the other Lam Rim texts that Lama Tsong Kapa wrote, on Atisha's Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment. So if we look at the commentaries that Lama Tsong Kapa wrote on Atisha's Lamp, they vary in length. So the largest volume of work related to Atisha's Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment, or that is a commentary on Atisha's Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment, is Lama Tsong Kapa's great treatise on the stages of the Path to Enlightenment. So this is the largest commentary on this text. The medium commentary is called The Medium Stages of the Path to Enlightenment by Lama Tsong Kapa. And this is maybe a little more than over 100 pages long. So this is the medium-sized text that Lama Tsong Kapa wrote as a commentary. Then we have the Lamrim Dudun, which is called the Abbreviated Stages of the Path, which would then be the smaller one. And then we have the really small texts, or poems, if you will, such as The Source of All My Good and the Three Principal Paths. So these are examples of the smallest works. And all of these works contain the same subject matter and implicitly contain all of the material that the Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment covers.
What that the Lari, what the Yedejima to Zuktaya to Sunda Landrel to the Landre Marbe, Landrel to the Jesuit Lari Shimizitama Dubaina, what the Yedejima do in Bere.
The root text is Atisha's Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment. And if we want to find the largest explanation, then we find it in the Great Treatise on the Stage of the Path to Enlightenment. A medium explanation in the medium stage of the path, etc. So this is where we find the explanation of the root text in various lengths.
What that learned was the George Belpin was the The Babatul Nalama Shanchu Kitana, Babatul was Nanam Dalig Tabatan Mason Riches, and the Lendil Tamchu Son Riches, what the Lumas of Shanchu is Jukujaba, Shanchu Lanji Demarot Savajas,
So when Atisha came to Tibet, he was asked to compose a text that answered various questions, questions about the difficult points of Tantra, questions about karma and its result, questions about the order of the stages of the path and the union, if you will, or the compatibility between sutra and tantra and so forth. So Atisha, Lord Atisha was asked various questions and then wrote the Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment in an answer to all of these questions, which then covers all of the subjects to be covered. So we find that the stages of the path were presented by Lord Atisha in this text by way of capacities. So the medium stages of the path, I'm sorry, the small teaching shared in common with beings of small capacity, the medium capacity stages, and the great capacity stages. So we find that these Atisha explained all of these subjects in that particular order by way of the small capacity, medium capacity, and great capacity.
What the learned what is do not you can do the baji and the quota baji and the purpose of the jagat and ragmare and the purpose of the rebuke is on purpose of nail habaji what the learned see which was one but
the understood that's the kashi itself.
Okay.
Oh, less so. So in India, there were already a large amount of scholars. But in Tibet, there really weren't these levels of scholars there. So this text itself was very helpful for the Tibetans because they didn't have the same scholastic aptitude that the Indians did, the Indian pandits or the Indian masters did.
What did Prabhupada what they could the bridge in the London to some but then Jagal Setang Jagal and the Kurun again the Jagal Kabachungis.
So then after the text, the Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment, was presented to the Tibetans, then it was brought to India, where Atisha's disciples and great scholars looked it over and they found it to be then the Gailason, the Kepa Dangetru
Das.
So the great scholars really liked or appreciated this text, The Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment. Gapujung really liked it, liked this text.
Atisha Pel Peka Namas what did Drama Shuvaris, Drama
Lesser,
Drama Atisha Shesidu,
Lesser,
and the purpose of Napoleon Pel in Rujisakadu,
Lesser,
Pel Dona Gandu, Jagal de Nagasar Shudu,
Lesser,
and the Drame Churu Pel Pebaina.
So Lord Atisha had a teacher-student relationship, not a teacher-student relationship, actually had a relationship, the teacher-student part's not there, but the relationship is, had a relationship with Tara herself. So with the actual manifestation of Tara, and he asked Tara before he went to Tibet, when he had been called to go there, what she thought of this journey, if she thought that it would be good for him to go or if he should stay in India. Tara said to Lord Atisha that if you go to Tibet, your life will be shorter. You won't have a long life, but you'll be of great benefit. If you stay in India, you will have a very long life, but you'll be only of medium benefit. And after hearing this, Atisha went to Tibet. So then when he went to Tibet and then composed The Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment, which benefited the Tibetans, but also benefited the Indians as well. So then In India, they said that this text was very, very good, and then asked Lord Atisha if he would write an auto-commentary to it. So then Atisha composed an auto-commentary to the Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment, or composed his own commentary. And then we find the these texts, the Rangje Dang, so both the Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment and the auto commentary can be found in the collection of the Indian master's works in the Tenjer. Excuse me, the authentic Indian commentaries.
What the juju what the lana so balatene tene ne kasukure rote ba je kadon la rimba kadon jomba wa kadon menga ba what the kadon ge
So then, in dependence upon Atisha's Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment and teach in his in Atisha, we see such scholars emerge, such as Drone Tompa, and then we see the three Kadampa lineages, the I'll have to look the three names up. The stages of the path, the script tending towards scripture, and the mingap the.
Ta kada jumba was jung jachibu ta dingen tu zizar ta the lare jung jachibu lu jung jine wate ta dingen tu lu kada jumba was la wajerwa ta lare te wate jijel jane and then zizi lu jung jine dingen tu lu kada lare ba sa wajerwa ta tena ma dudu jine nyala jine dingen tu kada mingapa.
Oral, okay, menga, the menga. So we have the three Kadampa lineages. One is the vast lineage, where they study a large amount of texts and information. So this is the vast. I'll look up the exact names of them, but Rinpoche is explaining what they are. So he's saying it's the vast lineage that looks over a large amount of texts. Then there's the Lam Rim lineage, for those who study a medium level. Study the Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment and the stages of the path and so forth. And then there's the oral tradition, I believe. I'll have these three names. The oral tradition, which studies a very abbreviated version of the meaning of the teachings. So we have these three levels, one the most vast, then the medium level, they're called the stages of the path, Kadampas, and then the smallest level that study a really abbreviated text. And so we find that all of these lineages and so forth depended on Lord Atisha, and this is what came from his work. And then we find Nyingma, Sakya, Kaju, and Galupa scholars writing many different commentaries to Atisha's text as well. The
Kadan Sama Galuba ji Sajaba ji and the Kajuba.
So when we say that all of them followers of the Kadampa lineage, we find in the Sakya Galupa and Kaju tradition a large emphasis on the stages of the path. According to this tradition, and we do find it also in the Nyingma tradition, but more so in Sakya Galupa and Kajupa lineage. So when we look at the Lam Rim literature, and we find the various lengths of Lam Rim texts by Lama Tsongkhapa, we find the Great Treatise on the Stage of the Path being the largest volume, the medium stages of the path, being a medium volume, and then the texts such as the abbreviated stages of the path, or Lamrim Duden, being a smaller version. So if we look at the great treatise on the stages of the path to enlightenment, and we look at the outline, it begins with how to rely upon the teacher, who's the root of the path, when we get into that section. So that particular section pertains to this first, or this first stanza pertains to that section, how to rely upon the teacher that is the root of the path. So it says, and then after that category, well, I'll do this first. So how to rely upon the teacher that is the root of the path. So the source of all my good is my kind Lama, my Lord. Bless me first to see that taking myself to him in the proper way is the very root of the path, and grant me then to serve and follow him with all my strength and reverence. So here, this is referring to that first category, how to rely upon the teacher that is the root of the path. And then we find the next category, the stages of how students train their mind after having relied upon the teacher. So this is the second category, the state after the root, teacher that is the root of the path. So this first stanza deals with the first category, relying on a teacher that is the root of the path.
What the lunch is also in the lunch of the Jebu, the Jebu, the Karzogre. That Maduva in a Tawa Teba Jamata, Kadi Jesu and Gubacheva, what the need to do was a marvel. Gishinel, what the Teba Jang was, Teba Marvel. And Gijinia to Sanji Imba, what the Taguris, Marbe, Sanji Imba Taguris, and the Suzuki and the Sanji Karsore. And the Sanji and Sanju Sava to the Nasuk Tundan, the Edu Waters, Sanji, Sinja Tajik Tunshi Water, Sanju Sava Suki, Sinja Tajik Tunshi Waters, Tunshi Gente, Nasuki and Alu Waters.
So in this section, some of the topics that we try to cultivate are the faith, so the faith and conviction in the teacher that is the root of the path, and we do so by seeing that the teacher is a Buddha, so we have various reasons that support that, and then we find other reasons such as that the bodhisattvas are still working for the sake of sentient beings, therefore the teacher is a conduit of all of the Buddha's teachings, and so forth. So we find these topics within that section. The Lamrim Chemo has a large amount of information, but these are some of the topics that we find in there. So such as faith, recognizing the teacher as a Buddha, recognizing that the Buddhist bodhisattvas are still working for the sake of others, therefore the teacher must be working for that aim and must be a bodhisattva, must be a Buddha, etc. So when we think of these topics, then we relate them to our own teacher, and then we begin to have this liking for our teacher that transforms into faith. It becomes faith. So when we look at the subject material contained within the Lamrim, we find that is the stage of the path for beings of small, medium, and great capacity. And if we wish to engage in any of those pathways, it's first necessary for us to rely upon a teacher in order to do so. So if one wishes to learn Christianity, it's necessary to rely upon a teacher. If one wishes to learn the Muslim tradition, it's necessary to rely on a teacher. In all other religious traditions, such as Hinduism, Judaism, etc., all those traditions require a teacher in order to understand them. And then if we look at regular topics, such as English or history or science, it's necessary to have a teacher explain these things to us as well. It's similar to that. How we depend on the section called depending on the teacher, relying on a teacher. So the next section is the stages of how students train their minds after having relied upon the teacher. So then we have the categories that are dealt with in this next stanza. We have the life of leisure and opportunity, and then we have the difficulty of obtaining and the great importance of the life of leisure and opportunity when we look at the outline in the Lam Rim Chemo. So first we have, bless me first to realize that the excellent life of leisure I found just this once is ever so hard to find and ever so valuable. Grant me then to wish and never stop to wish that I could take its essence night and day. And we could use this word valuable if we're trying to compare it or make it compatible with the outline of the Lam Rim Chemo, then we would use the word great importance. It's the same word in Tibetan. So ever so important or ever so, you know, so that's how we would look at it word wise and compare it to the outline. So just a note. So this excellent life of leisure, this leisure is a basis from which one can practice religion from. So what is leisure? It's a leisureless is a basis one can't. So leisure is when one has a basis from which you can practice Dharma or religion. So when we get into that topic, we find in the Lam Rim Chemo the identification of leisure and then opportunity. So there are 8 leisures and then 10 opportunities, 5 pertaining to oneself and 5 pertaining to others. So this is what is meant in that particular section that's dealing with the leisure and opportunity. So when we first look at the 8 leisureless states, they're as follows. That didn't make sense, but I think you know what I mean. So first state that lacks leisure is the hell realm. So when we speak of the hell realm, the hot hells, the cold hells, this is a basis that lacks leisure because one cannot practice Dharma from it. There's a large amount of suffering, so it's a leisureless basis. The next it would be the hungry ghosts. The hungry ghosts have external issues or external problems as well as internal problems that make it so they are not in a basis from which they can practice religion, so it's leisureless. The animal realms, this is a realm that we can actually see. Even animals that have some sort of intelligence, we see birds and we see the various different animals, we know that they can't study and practice Dharma. So we can recognize that just by looking at the animals and their actual abilities. They can't do what we can do. So we see that as a state that is not considered a state of leisure. So the next is a barbarian or an uncultured person in a border region, a place where there isn't any kind of religious idea whatsoever, a barbaric land. So we haven't been born into that. So this is another point to make that we have a basis of leisure, a reason why we have a basis of leisure. This jipa nangla yul tako yomari. The next is that we have not been born in a place where the conqueror's word is not present. So we aren't in a region where we find that the conqueror's word is not there. So this is another thing that we haven't. Rinpoche was saying that if you look in the 35 Buddhas of Confession, hell realm, animal realm, preta realm, irreligious countries as barbarians, long life gods with imperfect faculties, wrong views, or not being pleased with the Buddha's word.
That's the one that's the summary of all.
Oh, the summary of this. Okay, so Gangesena the shaking. Shaiting the luta sanje ma ka yomari.
Luba dawa jena kasa.
Luba da dene the sanje ka yomari. Denju yida ngawa yutako wambu matsawa latse rimbo.
Jai kame pata marwa shaiting jena.
Shaiting wambu the luta yomari.
Ale.
Nipa the sanje ka the sachi yure.
Jai kame pata.
Then the Dendru, Yida, Nyawa, Yultako, the Wampo Matsawa, then Latse Rimbo.
What did the Yitala there at that?
They go in Mebichi, Sansang K. Abiyomari.
What did the Lajan do with that?
So then, when we look at Nagarjuna's friendly letter, we find the eight conditions, or the eight leisureless conditions. So being born with wrong views, or without the conqueror's word, as an animal, a hungry ghost, a hell being, a barbarian, a stupid or mute person, or a long life, a deity of long life. So these are the eight that lack leisure. So these are the eight that are pointed out in this text. And then again, as Ted was saying, that you can combine, I can't do it on the fly here, but you can combine some that are in the Tungsha, correct?
So it's the eight, and then that was just an addition to it.
Okay, so there's an addition to it.
And that's just a summary, I think.
So you can look in the book, we have that prayer. Thanks so much.
Oh, jita dende karsa yutaku tu jawa lalu jawa.
I think we did this.
And then ngay sung sung jie yutaku tu jawa lalu jawa. And then jinga re maswe lalu jawa. Then the last re man su jawa mara.
Last re.
Last re man tu maya gile santen tamu ni ba. Sumba santen jiba. Santen jibi shu jile last re man tu yawaris. Last re man bo. Wadi last re man tu ya tamu ya jende tu ngan lalu jie sung ni ba. Sanglu jie yawaris. Then could never never java naji, then Shakalam motto, sang what Joe may have with that. And Shakalam sang what Joe, then could you have Chuja never ever with that. Lots of remnants. What thing are the Jim with us? Lots of remnants, Jones.
So we haven't been born as a deity of long life. So when we look at the different concentrations levels, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, etc., the fourth concentration level is where we have this long life, this deity of long life rebirth. And the reason that this is considered a leisureless state is because that once one is born into this realm, he or she recognizes that they have been born there, immediately has a good feeling, and then goes into a state of meditation that's like sleeping. So they recognize, and then their whole life passes. So this is not considered a state of leisure. So the next, it says a stupid or mute person. So here this is speaking of someone who can't talk, their mind cannot think. So when this word stupid, it's not referring to slang, it's referring to someone who cannot think. So if you, and look at the time also when this is written. So someone who cannot think and cannot talk doesn't have the opportunities to practice religion. So that's considered a leisureless state. So we have not been born with that. So we are not an animal, a hungry ghost, or a hell being, a barbarian, a stupid or mute person, a long life deity, and we haven't been born without a conqueror's word. Dene luta. So then the being born with wrong views is referring to being born with the idea that there is no karma and its results, there are no four truths, etc. So having a wrong view, if one has these wrong views, then one, this is not a basis from which one can practice religion. So we haven't been born as an animal, a hungry ghost, or a hell being, or an uncultured person in a border region, or a stupid or a mute person, or a long-life deity. We haven't been reborn with wrong views or without the conqueror's word. So therefore, because we haven't been born with these situations, we necessarily have a basis of leisure to work from. This basis of leisure is a basis from which we can practice religion. So this is the eight conditions or the eight leisures that we currently possess. So even if we have this basis of leisure from which we can practice from, we also need the conditions present in order to do that practice. So then we have the opportunities, five that pertain to ourselves and five that pertain to others. So then the five opportunities that pertain to oneself are as follows. Being born a human, so that's obvious, being a human being. Next, being born in a central region. Central here is referring to where there is religion practice. Then Rinpoche, the Nipa, the Dojijen, the Det Selpio Mare, the Ni, Sa,
Yu. Mm-hmm.
So the qualification for this central word central is that there is Dharma present. When we look at border region, when we look at this uncultured person border region is referring to a place where there isn't any of this religion. And Rinpoche was there's some sort of measurement I'm not getting clear on related to Bodhigaya. And where something about how far away it is where we start to see there isn't religion there. But so that where we go from a central region to a border region. So there's a measurement of some sort. But what is being referred to specifically here is that it centrally has the presence of the Buddha Dharma teaching. So this central location, the border region is referring to that these teachings aren't present. Central is referring to that the teachings are present. So this is the basic meaning of central region. Having complete sensory faculties, these are our senses, our eyes, ears, sensory faculties, as explained briefly before. Having reversible karma means not having irreversible karma, or it's translated so many different ways, five heinous crimes, not having, this is called irreversible karma sometimes, the five heinous crimes are. So we don't have that. And having faith in the source. So faith in the source is referring to faith in the three highest higher trainings, faith in the three baskets, etc. So this is the fifth inner opportunity. Then, Dutsuyuna Kontriwa Yure Jalo.
Okay.
Yeah, I was wondering who the conqueror is. Where I don't understand what that means.
The Buddha.
So being born where there is no Buddha message going on.
Without a conqueror's word. Conqueror is the Buddha. And if you're born without a conqueror's word, that's a leisureless state because there's no teaching by Buddha. The Jelpo Su, the Sanjayin. The Jelpo Suyin.
Jelpo.
Yeah. Su. The... Nibulin, the Loba Dawa, then Sanjay Ka, the Yomari, the Ming.
Jiao Kami Ban Tao.
Jiao Donagari.
Jiao Sanji Rosan.
Ilasa.
Sanji Kame Ba. Kame is Saju del Chiba in the Pishata Yomaro.
So it's the conqueror is referring to Buddha, and it's meaning that the Buddha's teachings are not present. So the Buddha's teaching isn't there. So that's what, or without a conqueror's word, that means in a place where the Buddha isn't, word speech isn't there. The teachings of Buddha aren't there. Uncultured person in a border region is referring to this border region is where the conqueror's word isn't present. So a border region is referring to this place where there isn't a conqueror's word or religious activity in general.
Doe. Abu.
Vinaya?
Manaya.
Okay. Vinaya, truth.
Do you tell my name? Do you tell my name?
Tell my name. So when we look at this, so the five aspects of opportunity that pertain to others are as follows. That a Buddha has taught, that the sublime teaching is being taught, that the teaching remains, that there are those who follow it, and that there is caring for others. So the first one, that a Buddha has visited. So this means that the Buddha has been to that place and taught. So if a Buddha hasn't visited, then it's not possible to receive the teachings. That the sublime teaching is being taught, that the teaching continues to be taught, and that the teaching remains. There's various signs for the teaching remaining. In order for the Vinaya truth to remain, it says that there is still the individual liberation vows being held. So the one day, or the vows of the householder, the vows of the novice, the vows of a probationary nun, and the vows of fully ordained monks and nuns. So these are the individual liberation vows. So if these are present, then it's stated that the Vinaya truth is present. The tantric presence is different than this. So there's a different qualities or things that have to be present for the tantra to be present in the world. But the Vinaya truth is present when we find the Prada Moksha vows present. The way we know if the tantric teaching remains is that if the Guhya Samaja tradition is present. So if there is a Guhya Samaja tradition, then there is a tantric tradition, tantric truth tradition present.
So if the Guhya Samaja
teaching or truth is present, then the tantric truth is present. We find Guhya Samaja to be the root of all of the different four classes of Tantra. So when we find those deities of the Yamantaka Tantra, the Huruka Tantra, and then any among the other Tantras, such as Action, Performance, Yogic, and Highest Yoga Tantra, we find that the root of all these Tantras is the Guhya Samaja. Okay, and it also says that it is the summary or holder of all of the sutra teachings as well, or the container. I think it's translated as container. It's the container of all of the sutra teachings as well. So it's the root of all of the tantra, and it's the container of all of the sutra teachings, the Guhya Samaja. So it's because of this that they say if the Guhya Samaja lineage is present, then the tantric tantra is also present. The Sawan Dupa Yuna, the Do Yire, Dua Yire.
Sawan Dupa Temba Yuna.
So when we look at what this means, if there are those who are receiving and giving the initiations of Guhya Samaja and engaging in the practices of Guhya Samaja and so forth, if all of these things are present, the initiations, the students, the practitioners, the teachers, the preceptors, etc., then we say that the Guhya Samaja tradition is present, therefore the tantric tradition is present. So the next part is that there are those who follow it. So if the teacher is there, then there are those who like it and engage in the study of it. So this, those who follow it means there are those who are studying it. And then caring for others is referring to those practitioners who are engaging in the practice of the Buddha's teachings are supported by benefactors. So those people are supported by the jenda, by benefactors. So this caring for others means that there's support for those practitioners. So these are the 10 opportunities. The 8 leisures and 10 opportunities. So a basis of leisure is what, when we say a basis of leisure, this is what we're referring to. So it says, bless me first to realize that the excellent life of leisure I found just this once. Just this once is referring to the difficulty of achieving it. We do not know when we will have this basis of leisure ever again. So because we don't know when we'll ever have it again, we say we only have it this once. And then it says it's ever so hard to find. Ever so hard to find. It's hard to find because its causes are hard, and there's reasons why it's hard to find. So these are two points that are made. Their causes and the reasons. So when we use examples to show the difficulty of obtaining it, we see the analogy that those born into the higher realms and the lower realms the higher realms and the lower realms into the lower realms resemble those atoms in the world, and those born in the higher realms from the in the higher realms from the lower realms, and the higher realms are similar to the numbers of atoms on a fingernail. So those beings going to the lower realms from the higher realms and lower realms are the same as atoms in the world. Those beings going from the higher realms from the lower realms or the higher realms are similar to atoms on a fingernail. So this is an example to show the reason why it's difficult to achieve this human basis. Dixon. So why is it that we say that the number of beings born from the higher realms and the lower realms into the higher realms resemble those of atoms on a fingernail, and those beings from the higher realms and the lower realms that are reborn into the lower realms are the same as atoms in the world? What's the reason for this? And we find in Aryadeva's 400 verses the quote that says, humans for the most part are involved in the ignoble, therefore most ordinary beings fall to the lower realms. So this is the reason why we see the example, the reason for the example, the Adam's example. So there are many causes for rebirth into the lower realms, and not as many causes for rebirth into the higher realms that we engage in. We are more involved in lower realm rebirth. And where it says in Aryadeva's 400 verses, this word ignoble, humans for the most part are involved in the ignoble. Ignoble is referring to the non-virtuous activities, such as the 10 non-virtuous activities. So humans for the most part are involved in non-virtue. So the ignoble, the non-virtuous, so the 10 non-virtues, and are not involved very much in the noble, which is virtue, which gives rise to rebirth in the higher realms. Therefore, most beings go to the lower realms. And then we find the example of the beings that go from the higher realms and the lower realms to the lower realms are like the atoms in the world, and those beings that go from the higher realms and the lower realms to the higher realms are like the atoms on a fingernail. So this is the reason why, because most beings are involved in non-virtuous activities that give rise to this sort of rebirth. Less so. So when we say, bless me first to realize the excellent life of this of leisure I found just this once is ever so hard to find, this is what is meant by that. So the reason we say ever so valuable or ever so important, so it has great importance. The reason we say this is from this basis of leisure and opportunity, we can engage in pathways that lead to the animal realm. We can engage in pathways that lead to liberation. We can engage in pathways that lead to complete Buddhahood. So this is why it is so valuable. This is why it is so important, because we can use it for those means. Grant me then to wish and never stop to wish that I could take its essence night and day. Engaging in the ethics which abandons the 10 non-virtuous activities, if one has engaged in a negativity, acknowledging that downfall and so forth. So this is taking its essence, engaging in the practices of virtue and so forth. So then when we have the category moving forward in the Lamrim outline to the actual way to take full advantage of a life of leisure and opportunity, we have the categories of the three, training the mind in the stage of the past shared in common with beings of small capacity, training the mind in the stage of the past shared in common with beings of medium capacity, and training the mind in the stage of the path for beings of great capacity. So we have that under the major heading of actual the actual way to take full advantage of a life of leisure and opportunity. So there is how to, and then the actual way in the outline. This is the final stage where it says the actual way to take advantage of a life of leisure and opportunity.
Less so.
So here we have the next stanza that deals with death and impermanence. My body and the life in it are as fleeting. My body and the life in it are fleeting as the bubbles in the sea froth of a wave. Bless me first, thus to recall the death that will destroy me soon. Help me find sure knowledge that after I've died, the things I've done, the white or black, and what those deeds will bring me, follow always close behind as certain as my shadow. I read a little too far, but it's the same stanza. So here this we find, bless me first to recall the death that will destroy me soon. It's showing how impermanent our life is. It's showing like the bubbles in the sea froth of a wave, etc. So here, because we have this human basis that was brought on by karma and afflictions, we do not have any independence over when we will die and so forth. Therefore, when the karma and afflictions are such that it is time for us to die, we will die, and this won't be our choice at that moment. Our body is fleeting because it will die, and it says, recall this death that will destroy us soon. See, and if we have this topic of death and impermanence, It won't really matter if there's no previous lives and so forth, but there are. There is a previous lives and there are future lives. So we have to establish these in order to establish this idea of the importance of mindfulness of death. So the way that we establish the existence of previous lives is by looking at, by way of looking at three reasons or three signs. So first is that we have sense powers, we possess sense powers. Second, that we possess the breathing in and out or wind. And third, that we possess consciousness. So these three things are the reasons to prove the existence of previous life. So we say that these things that we possess came from like substances, not something from a dissimilar class. So that's a quote from the Pramanavartika Karika, Dharmakirti's commentary on the Compendium of Valid Cognition. So if we say there is an existence of a previous life because there is the sense powers, because there is consciousness, because there is and breathing in and out. So we would say because these things are all present, there's necessarily beginningless life, so a previous life. So we say that these came from a previous sense powers. Sense powers came from previous sense powers. Consciousness came from previous sense powers. The breathing in and out came from previous breathing in and out, not from something that is from a dissimilar class. So this is what the Pramanavartika Karika says. It's not from a dissimilar class. It's from the same type of dissimilar class. These are three points that we make to prove the existence of previous life, the presence of these things that we have. Rinpoche Chutsu Jedan Karma Sung Lesson. So we'll take a short break. And we have some cookies and so forth, and we'll.
Taringa su tanishi ne agmu de ne ajat shi na.
Yabudu. Pento du. Rinpoche is saying we're going over things that we have before. It's very good for us to do so.
Taringa su jiwa ngama yuwa dulu wa de.
So we're going to go over a little bit about the presence or existence of previous lives. So when we begin to think of this, we begin to think about the things that compose, excuse me, ourselves. Such as the five aggregates, the five elements, and so forth. So in the five aggregates, we have the various shapes and colors and so forth. How do all of these things come about? These are all results, so they necessarily come about in some way. So how are they created? And then when we look at these parts or things, then we apply the same kind of reasoning that we would when talking about our sense powers, our consciousness, and breathing in and out. So when we try to establish where those things come from, we use the same kind of reasoning when the reasoning we just used related to those, we use and relate it to the five aggregates, the five elements, etc. So there are four ways in which one can be born: birth from an egg, birth from heat and moisture, birth from a womb, and miraculous birth. We're born from a womb. When we look at the different ways one can be born, we're born from a womb.
So,
So where did, when we look, we have these shapes and color. If we're born from a womb, where did we come from? We have these shapes and colors and so forth. We all of these came from our mother's womb. So not meaning caused by, I mean we came out of our mother's womb with these shapes and colors and so forth. So then, the way that we have the formation of our bodies is that we have in the mother's stomach or womb, we have this union of the parents' substances that come together. The male and female substances come together. And at that moment, then the intermediate consciousness from the intermediate state, or not the intermediate, it can be called that, but that's, it's the same consciousness. The consciousness from the intermediate state then goes into this union of the male and female, and at that point, then we have a presence, and then we begin to see the development of the blood and the flesh and so forth. So we have this union of the male and female substances, the intermediate state being's consciousness then going into this union, and then we have the development beginning. So at this moment of conception, it's, if you will, or the union, then at that point the consciousness is inserted. So then when we know these facts, then a doubt can arise. We know that the consciousness begins in this union of the parents, male and female substances, then a doubt arises. Where does this consciousness come from? We can say from a previous life or from our parents. Do our parents give us this consciousness somehow? What's the fault of saying that the consciousness of the parents is the child's consciousness? So if the parents' consciousness were that of the child's, and vice versa, the child's consciousness were that of the parents, then that with the mother knows, or the parents know, the child would necessarily know. And that what the parents or mother doesn't, parents do not know, the child would necessarily not know. So we see cases, though, where we have children who are much more intelligent than their parents and have qualities of consciousness that their parents don't possess, and likewise parents who know things that the children don't know. So we can't say that it's of the same substance as the parents' consciousness, because we find that the knowing isn't the same.
That pugu shebat bhami shebat mai na ta pugu shebat kane yo bar song du ta ba du yo bar sa la go.
So if the child's consciousness is not that of the parents, then where does it come from? We posit that it comes from the consciousness of the intermediate state.
Ta ba du shebat wa ta ba du shebat ku po sen je ji she an ba si l je an ba du do wa de pha ma ni ge ko ta yo sa ta ba ku tsum ze ya ge no wa de sha ma no.
So then the consciousness that has been in the union of the parents' substances, where does that come from? That comes from the intermediate state. And it's stated that the intermediate state being begins to have have visions of this union of the parents in union, and then sees flowers and so forth, and sees it as a house And then goes to that house. So there is an idea that they're seeing these different things happen when there's this union, and then they see a house and an attractive place to go, and they want to play, and then they go there. So this is the how then the intermediate stage state being then connects to the womb, if you will, that union of male and female substances.
So when we
see the consciousness goes from the intermediate state into the union of the substances, the male and female substances, then we see that the male and female substances have the potential to produce the blood and the flesh and so forth. Bones and flesh. If I didn't say bones before, I apologize. Bones and flesh. It's stated that the male substance creates the bones, and that the female substance creates the blood and meat, flesh. Thank you. Same word for meat in
Tibetan.
But we do have scientists, and scientists have machines that they're instruments they're able to look at things with. So we have to see what science asserts, to see if a science would say that the bones come from the father and the blood and the flesh come from the mother and so forth. So we have to see what science says also. The way we can check these texts is by using a scientific instrument. So we're not excluding that. So the way we can check to see if this is right is because science can do this at this point. So the reason that we say that the blood, flesh, and bones comes from our parents is because they obviously it doesn't come from the previous life. So it doesn't carry over from the previous intermediate state, etc. The blood and the flesh and the bones. There isn't that matter there. So when we look at what is in this union of the parent's substances, we find that it's the consciousness. So where did that consciousness at that moment come from? It came from a previous moment's consciousness, and then we find it the consciousness of the intermediate state that came from a previous consciousness. So we find that there's always a similar class that is a constant line, a similar class, consciousness causing consciousness. Yes.
When we think of words,
words and the meaning of words, and let's say the Tibetan interpretation is that the bones are the male and the flesh and the blood is the female. Is that right?
From the substance, the secret substances of the female
right.
and male, yes.
I wonder about the hidden meaning of the bones being structure and the other substance that's more female in this use of words, the flesh and the gushy stuff.
The skin, the flesh, the meat.
I would say more like sense stuff. I think that's just interesting. I don't know if anybody takes a look at those words deeper. But
it's just a fact that Buddha's stating, like, this is, this is our eye, right eye, this is our left eye. The Buddha's stating, that comes from that, that comes from that. There's not a hidden.
Okay.
It's an explicit teaching.
If there was any hidden meaning, because the the probability that our scientists would refute that is so high. But the probability that the Tibetan Buddhists would like to keep that interpretation is very high. I'm just curious about that.
So you want to know if there's a hidden meaning. The Pame Kutra, the Rugu Dan Sha Dan Tra, Kongitra, the Sanwan Dunda Yere.
It
says, it just says that in the texts. The Kutra, the Rugo, the Yongmari, the Yongmari, the
Rugut Kane was the Tigurda. Rugut Kane was. Rugu Jukar. Cerebral Tigur.
So Rinpoche is saying that this is just something that's explicitly stated by the Buddha, that these things come from this and that comes from that. Rinpoche is saying that we should have science can look and see with their instruments, and then we would then be able to ask them. And Rinpoche is not saying they would know. He's saying we pose this question to the scientists with the machines. Are you able to say where the bone comes from? Are you able to say where the blood comes from? Are you able to say where the flesh comes from? So it's not saying we're just going to rely on what science says. It's saying science has machines, they look at it, and then we say, are you able to say? And then the answer isn't certain. Rinpoche doesn't know what science would say, he's saying. But he's just saying we can pose this question and then see if they would be able to answer such a question. So it's good to think of that consciousness came from a previous consciousness. It's beneficial for it. It's a good way to look at it. So when we see this moment's consciousness, it came from a previous consciousness, that came from the intermediate state consciousness, that came from a previous life consciousness, that came from an intermediate consciousness, etc., etc. And then we can posit beginningless birth, because we can't posit anything but a previous consciousness. So we posit beginninglessness, because that's there is no beginning to our consciousness. All sentient beings have no beginning to birth. Why is there no beginning to birth? Semchen Tamche Jewa Toma Mepa.
Sijan Tanji Rang Pare Mare Pinjare.
Okay, so all sentient beings have been our mother, have been our father, have been our brother, have been our sister, have been our friend, etc. So all sentient beings have been this to us. So it's because of this that we say all sentient beings are our mother, because of this beginningless fact, etc. So we state that all sentient beings are our mother. So if we think, when we think about consciousness, this is how we should think. Where did our breathing in and out come from? So when we say, where did our breathing in and out come from? Did it come from the male secret substance or the female substance? We cannot posit yes. So we posit that this breathing in and out came from a previous breathing in and out, which came from a previous existence. So this life's breathing in and out, does it come from the previous life's breath? So we have a doubt. So whenever I say we have a doubt, this is something, there's not an answer we're putting out there. Something people should think about, go home, analyze, study texts, and then come back and say, this is what I'm arriving at. So whenever I say that, it's not just leaving it open-ended because I don't know the next part. Rinpoche is throwing a question to the room without an answer attached to it. So in the intermediate state, is there something breathing in and out? So So then we could say then it we could say that this breathing in and out of this existence is from the breathing in and out of the intermediate states breathing in and out. So if we're stating that the intermediate state breathing is breathing in and out, then we're saying that the moment that we're breathing in and out here is caused the previous moment is the intermediate state beings breathing in and out. So then another doubt arises, the sense powers. The sense powers that the intermediate state of being possesses. Are those sense powers that the intermediate state being possesses our sense powers? So are they the same sense? So then another doubt arises. So we have to look into this. Are those sense powers the being in the intermediate state has, because they have a complete sense faculties, is that beings and our beings sense faculties the same? So then we say that the intermediate state beings breathing in and out, and the intermediate state beings five sense powers, five sense powers, are the breathing in and out and five sense powers that we possess. So if we say it in this way, that's a fine way to say it. So that the intermediate state beings breathing in and out and five sense powers are a continuation of that, if you will, of the breathing in and out of the intermediate state beings and the five sense powers of that intermediate state being. And then how about for a formless realm being? How do these come about? A formless realm being's breathing in and out and sense powers. So then when we say the intermediate state being who's in the formless realm intermediate state form, if it's not a form, but that's a wrong way to put it. How would you say this? Because it's in the form of a formless being. I think everyone knows what I mean. It's a being without form, but that form. So is that being's sense powers that being has once he or she, or it, if you will, gets to the formless realm, are the sense powers that are in the intermediate state and the breathing in and out of the intermediate state those of the formless realm beings? So do scientists assert, I don't know if scientists assert a formless realm a being or not. So then if they do, they would say that the is the intermediate, the formless intermediate state the cause of the formless realm? These are the things that we need to think about when we look at previous lives. So then when we go to the intermediate state, we think, okay, so now we're saying that the this is how the blood skin and bones are formed. Is there blood in the intermediate state, or is there flesh in the intermediate state? So then we have to ask ourselves that question. There's many doubts that arise. Yes, Tracy.
Yeah.
And there are answers to all of these questions, by the way. If you look in a text, every one of those questions has an answer. A definite answer.
Interesting. Rinpoche, does our consciousness remember from the intermediate state to the state in which we then are born from the womb? Do we remember?
Womb?
Well, like, I believe we do have all of these stages, our past, but our consciousness doesn't recall them. And I'm wondering why.
Let's do the Amitrogo Nala. Ngatsu jewa de bardu hakodwe. Tringdwe. Ngatsu bardu tringdwe.
Bardu ta tenghe, kashi tenghe verman ngan tenghmes.
Rinpoche said, some do remember it, I don't.
Right.
That was what Rinpoche said. Okay. Like, he doesn't remember it, but some beings do. There are some highly developed beings that would.
Okay, thank you.
Jau kutin yi bagi jau gani jasu marwe. Jau gani jasu.
Tumble.
Jau gani jasu wati jau gani jasu. Sume pema shusa dil peba yin jimen ruha. Sume. Pema sangba wa. Sandu peril peba yin ane. Sume gita. Chu tandan de ya on karichiga sita. Ne karichiga yung basita. Pel mandu ures. Ane ku robo jittan baris robo.
Gendun Drup, Gendun Jatsu.
Gendun
Jatsu.
Kutinyipa.
Ale. Then Kon?
Kon Sandu Peril Peba Yijiruta. Sandu Peril Pedu, then Lube Banjune, Tana de Ayuna Digmarshu Masons. Ladu Lansa Padin Lam, take on the Jasmus. Padin Lam, take on the Jane. And Lasag was not re Nojan Sandal, Tromban Lesmus, and Amaji Tru in the Bodos, but then I'm put about two answers. And Jordan Joalemishua. Josuna Jatu. Could you sumba?
Then the Paul and Lambo, the Kamasumba
Amaji Tru in the Bodos,
then
Puvale, Jordan Jayuta.
Ale. Ale, gender, Pugu gender nang la shasun.
But I'm not going to Pugu gender juizero. But then I'm both one lane. Jotan Chibangero.
Palanamo Pugu Lanson, then I'm a Trogo.
Jotan
Sumba. Oh, okay, so then egg the Sue Jewa Bardu Kakodu.
Jotan, the Jogani Jasuro, Kutiniba. Kun Jangur. Kun Nadeliudro.
You know, the Sumba, Jaw Sumba, the...
Sumba Suna Jasu, Suna Jasu. Kuti Nyiba de Wate Amatil Chiwa Len, and the Sumba de Suna Jasu.
So there's a story I'm not getting very clear on, unfortunately, of the second Dalai Lama, and it has to do with it happening in North Lhasa. Paulden Lamo... there's a memory that the second Dalai Lama has of this occurrence. The third Dalai Lama, though, is put into the story, and that's where I'm getting confused. But Paulden Lamo removes, and if anyone knows the story, please feel free to help me. But the Paulden Lamo removes a child from the womb. So we omar. But Paulden Lamo, the Pugu Su Nengdu Lanson.
Padne lama sambo peril jawar mujhe thik hone jaate thik hone ro. Jawar mujhe dene jhone ro. Ane tuelun se the lhasa ko nu ta shangon thre. O thile sun se hore. Thile du thakha je naalu le. Aja je naalu bo do struku naalu. Padne lama thile nja sun se. An jawat ne jaay maru ta. Jaw kuri ni ba. Ama thile che sumba suna jaazu imar.
I see. So then, all right, so miraculously, somehow, Paulden Lamo removes the child, goes to North Lhasa. There is a woman who is pregnant, removes the child from the woman's womb, and puts the third, the Dalai Lama, in the third Dalai Lama in the stomach, and then it is born. But the reason I'm getting confused is Rinpoche is saying the second Dalai Lama tells of this story. Then Su Hakodu, Nipa? So there then kon shema nge de dangre hakodu gangisene kon nipa sumba jason then kon nge jewa shema hakodu. Okay, so he was saying that I understood. So the second Dalai Lama was almost prophesizing that this would happen, this would happen in this way. I apologize if there's anything missing from this story. I'm sure there is, but I've got most of the details, but there's something missing, I feel. Yes, Trila?
I think I know that story, but it doesn't quite go like that. I don't want to recall that. I wanted to say something else.
If you know the story in full, I mean, like, well, I mean, there's only like four details to it.
It's a matter of language and the use of words and the idea of taking a baby out of a womb and putting another one in, and then it gets born, is what you said.
Yeah.
And the story, as I recall it, is somebody in the Buddhist community was seeing that the next Dalai Lama was born, and so they went to that place where there was the mother and the father, and they found out that that was the next Dalai Lama.
Yeah, no, totally different
story. The kid was already born.
Yeah, totally different
story.
Okay,
but that wasn't my question. My question was about when we were talking about remembering past lives, and so my question goes something like,
but we never posited any memory of past lives. We posited we don't remember past lives.
Well,
we're positing past lives exist, but we're not positing remembering them.
We're positing some people remember.
Okay.
And so we're positing there is, in some consciousnesses, memory.
Mm-hmm.
And so when there is a person who sees many or some or a few, but let's say many past lives
mm-hmm.
that they've lived and recall those stories, I'm wondering if the Lama would posit that this is this kind of learning we're doing right now allows for consciousness to open up to begin to be able to see those possibilities in one's consciousness. So our very activity of hearing this story, these stories of these facts, of these Buddhist Tibet facts we're listening to, is allowing consciousness to know this possibility and therefore have the experience.
Like create
Should
a seed
one,
for you to do the work to make that experience possible or make the experience possible? Because
well,
the experience
that
doesn't just
depend.
Happen from hearing this. You have to go through concentration stages.
Exactly. Well, which, of course, some people go through every day, certain periods of when they're concentrating their mental energy, especially practitioners.
Yeah, if they're trained, they do. If you're not trained, you can't go through those stages every day.
No, I would agree that training is a better way to get to
only way.
Although I think that some people in prison, in some of the prison stories I've read, some people have achieved mental concentration. And they get these kind of insights. But that's a separate subject.
Through training.
So I just wanted to see if the Lama would validate that the very listing of this possibility could create for certain kinds of consciousnesses the opening for them to begin to see these other lives, which is the beauty of the teachings. I guess I should wrap it up with the purpose for my being here, for one thing, is there's gifts that you get as you're hearing these possibilities, which seem normal to some people, but to other people, they've never heard of that kind of concept.
The Jewangama Yure. Kongi Trua, the Anjer Guna, the me kashe ngushe the jegre jangre yomare
the ngushe jona jegre ma jan jegmare
sla so then the
ngushe jebala sante shine da latung kungur
sla so
shine da latung kung then sante ngushe nyumura baga ka ane jene ngushe ngushe jegro.
So there's various, just the listening to this alone, no. So the hearing of this, then if one hears that there are previous lives and then engages in practices that cause the knowledge of previous lives, then he or she will have the knowledge of previous lives. Without the practices which cause that, which are going through the various concentration stages, through the various pathways, achieving single-pointed concentration, uniting that with calm, with special insight, which then is called a union of calm abiding and special insight, and then a destruction of the coarse afflictions that takes place at that point through the special insight that's united with the single-pointed concentration, and at that point then a clairvoyance it takes place where one can remember previous lives. So this process of understanding previous lives comes through this clairvoyance that can understand and know previous lives comes through training in concentration levels and what we're talking about when Rinpoche says a union of calm abiding and special insight. This is at the peak, the last mundane state of existence on the path of preparation. One step before you see emptiness directly at the path of seeing. So where Rinpoche is talking about, he's talking about a practitioner who's achieved this union of calm abiding and special insight, which is at a very high level in the pathways.
Yeah.
So maybe Rinpoche said that's enough.
Yeah.
But certainly knowing that past and future lives exist is the first seed to the wisdom that would allow you to remember them, certainly. But it would require the meditation and so forth to be able to see our consciousness like that. I said there's some people who don't have these concentration levels that say they remember their previous lives. And I said, is this real? And Rinpoche said, that's strange. So, because there are, you know, some strange occurrences where people have really firm memories of, but is that valid cognition? Can they be certain? Do they know that that was really where they were, who they were? There was, in India, there was one woman. She would say, the Jewa Ngami Ama? Nepal? Neighborhood. Oh, okay, thank you, Ted. So he's saying that my previous mother lives in this other neighborhood, previous life's mother. So then when a child, so Yanjur Sunalang did?
Bhamma ji chero, bhamma te amat, chwa ghamma amat te triti nebu ho li mara. Then ko chero, ta kuro amal amal lago mara ta, ko nebu ho de la amal lago.
So then when the child was born, so the child who said that their mother was in previous mother was in another neighborhood. When this child was born, said to the birth mother, "You're not my mother. My mother lives in another neighborhood over there." So, and they're stating that this was a previous life mother.
What the born children did you come to handle that?
So this small child is somehow remembering a previous existence. But we can't say, we don't know if they've developed clairvoyance already or not, which is comes through the training. So maybe in previous life, this child might have achieved the state of clairvoyance through training. Maybe that's enough.
Yeah.
So we'll do the concluding mandala offering and dedication prayer.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone. The questions are really wonderful. It's important that we... go through these. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun, and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. I dedicate whatever virtues I have collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and in particular for the essential teachings of Venerable Lozan Drapa to shine forever. I send forth this jeweled mandala to you, precious Guru. I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri and likewise Samantabhadra as well. With whatever dedication is praised as supreme by all the conquerors who traverse the three times, I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deeds. In that pure land surrounded by snowy mountains, you are the source of all benefit and happiness. All-powerful Avalokiteshvara, Tenzin Gyatso, may you stay until samsara's end. I pray for the long life of the precious Khensur Wondok, upholder of scriptural and realizational doctrines, the spiritual friend who trained extensively in the five great philosophical texts, the exceptional wisdom and perseverance. Tuji Rinpoche, Gutsi Shepi Denonan.